Welcome to the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network, and I'm Vic Verschuro. So glad you have a chance to join us today, and so glad we have with us Bernadette Johnson. She is a leadership alchemist, which we're going to hear more about, but she's also a leadership consultant and author and doing great things. I met her a few weeks ago, and I thought, oh my, our audience needs to meet this lady, and I'm so glad you're here. Bernadette, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Vic. I am so excited to have our conversation today.
Well, you know, I'm not sure whether it's sunlight, moonbeams, or just radioactivity that comes out of you, but you are vibrant, enthusiastic, and somebody that people have got to get to know. So I'm glad that you're with us today. And I just want to start at the beginning, if I could. So tell me, in your LinkedIn, you refer to yourself as a leadership alchemist. Tell me about that.
Leadership consultant, right?
Right.
But I wanted to get to the essence of how I show up in service to leaders and what they can expect from themselves, how they're going to be showing up once we're done.
Oh,
does
wow.
that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And you know, Bernadette, it's so exciting to talk to you because I really feel like after seeing you in action, and I think you have a very, what I feel is a very sincere and caring demeanor about you. And that really, in my opinion, is square one when it comes to leadership. But setting that aside for a second, tell me about really, you're in your own business, you're on your own. Tell me where it all started. How did you come to the decision that you could do this and you could help people? Where did that come from?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, my business will be 20 years this year.
Oh my.
Woo-hoo!
You don't look
I
old
know,
enough
right?
for that. Where'd that come from? You started at 10, didn't you?
I sure did.
Yeah, the girl.
But yeah, it'll be Inspired Action Motivates will be 20 years this year. As twofold, I think, as a business owner, my first business, I think I was 12.
Oh, come on.
And my brother
really?
Was 10.
Well, what no, was it? Truly. Girl Scout cookies or what were you doing? What's going on at 12?
Okay, so don't laugh. It was an Italian water ice stand.
Oh, my. Sign
so
me up.
I'm originally from Jersey.
Okay.
So I'm a Jersey girl.
Okay.
And so on the East Coast, we have Italian water ice. It's like a cross between sorbet and sherbet, but it's more intense, almost like how gelato is
okay.
Intense,
not to be confused
right?
with a snow cone, right? A snow cone is crushed
no,
ice with
no,
syrup
no.
on it, right? No, I've just offended
we
you, haven't
had
I?
Them. We also had them, but my brother and I started a business because we lived in inner city, so there's corner stores, like each section is a community. So
oh, yeah.
in our community, right? And so across from where we lived, there was the Parkside School. And so we got our little, don't laugh, Red Flyer wagon.
Oh, yeah.
And there was, right? And there was an ice cream shop, probably about 8 blocks from our house. And they sold Italian water ice, but they also rented the cans. They call them cans. And you could rent cans from them. It was, they're totally ice cream, like Quality Dairy, that kind of.
Okay, all right.
Okay. And so we got cherry and we sold it. And because this is the summer, so everybody is driving down the street because it's a city. Everybody's going through the neighborhoods. They stop. And so we started with one size cone. We finished that barrel like in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Went and got two more. Okay. Long story short. That summer, we made $600, which is a lot for kids.
That's right? some serious smack for a 12-year-old, right?
Right? And so, but that was, I think, for business-wise, as an entrepreneur, that was the bug, if that makes sense.
Sure, yeah.
And
kind of
so
kind of got under your skin.
My brother shined shoes. But remember what year this is. yeah, no sneakers. This was, you know,
gotcha.
Folks were shoes.
Yeah.
And so, but we're both entrepreneurs. My brother owns a business as well. And so do I. So does my son. So does my former. Like, in that neighborhood, there were so many small businesses. because you think about inner city.
Yeah,
so it was
sure.
the barbershop, the millinery, the grocery store, corner grocery store. All of these are small business owners.
Right, right.
Right. So that was my surrounding, whether I recognized it or not.
And what I think you just pointed out is that because of that amazing surrounding where you have business owners and people striking it out on their own, being independent, working hard, all of that stuff, you just had no choice but to kind of get in the flow of things and go with it. How exciting it is to do that. And, you know, I have to tell you, Britta, that I'm really excited about hearing your story and unpacking it today, and so glad that you could join us here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Verschuro on the Michigan Business Network. We're going to be right back with Bernadette Johnson after these messages.
The workplace keeps changing, and successful companies recognize and embrace change through choice, adaptability, and innovation. DBI helps customers reach their workplace goals. Learn more at dbiyes.com.
And we're back right here on the Leadership Lowdown on the Michigan Business Network. I've got Bernadette Johnson with us. She's a leadership consultant and author, but she goes by Leadership Alchemist, which I just love. By the way, she's sharing with us some of the early years, and she just had no choice but to jump into the entrepreneurial leadership world, basically because of the world she was completely involved with early on. And so tell me, we've got the little red flyer wagon down the road. We're making some serious money. I'm assuming the next thing is investment. I don't know where we go from here, but tell me, what's next on your hit parade? Where do you go from there? And what are some of the early successes you started racking up besides the Italian ice business?
Well, that's important for having a diverse background. Right,
right. Right.
And so for, I think my next one, because you asked me about business and you asked me about leadership. So the leadership piece of this came when I was a co-op, and I don't know if they still do that anymore, but go to school in the morning and then the afternoon you're working someplace. So it's not an internship, or if it was, it would be like a paid internship.
Right.
And I worked at City Hall because, like I said, I lived in inner city.
Oh, my.
And I worked at City Hall. This was, and I come from a working class neighborhood. And at that time, let's say 71, 72, stop doing the math.
I'm no good at it.
Okay. The three things, now remember, this is before 1976. 76, when we talk about women can have, get loans on their own, open checking accounts. So I just want to give you that picture. So at that time, around 72, the three things that everybody talked about if you were a young woman was you could be a nurse, you could be a secretary, you could be a teacher. Like that was your choices.
Oh,
or
yeah.
You can work in the factories because inner city, right?
Yep,
we had
right.
Campbell Soup and we had RCA. I go to City Hall and here are all of these beautiful, diverse women leading organizations, leading departments, representing the city, representing the state. And I'm like, how come nobody told me about this?
Best kept secret.
This is going on? Like, this is possible? There's a quote by Marion Wright Edelman, and she says, it's hard to be what you can't see.
Oh, very good.
It's hard to be what you can't see. That was my opening, was, oh, my God. And in school, in high school, I was doing business. After 2 weeks, I switched to college prep and said, no, 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 no. This is what I want to do. And I remember telling my mom that what I want to be at 16, I want to be a businesswoman. I want my name on the door and I want to travel the world.
Wow.
And that was because of what I saw. Because what I saw, I knew what was possible.
Let's play with that just for a second, because I think that what you're suggesting to me is part of some of the great magic that we can do for young people, especially those that are disadvantaged, by giving them an opportunity to see something in the world that is really positive and that absolutely is a great opportunity for them to seize a hold of. And so many times that comes in the form of athletics, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, if you're like me, you didn't get the athletic gene necessarily. I played some football, but, you know, the whole point is, if that box isn't checked, and let's face it, it's only checked for a few. If it's not checked, what about exposing them to other things? So you just kind of really lit up something so important, Bernadette, is the whole opportunity that I think is important. One of my favorite quotes is from Walt Disney, and he says, the only limits are those of vision. And I think that's really an amazing point that you bring up. And so you, as a young person, all of a sudden realize that, hey, the world is out there and nobody should be slapping labels on me. I get to choose my own label. Is that where you went?
Yes. So that was it. I mean, for me, that was such, as we call, a defining moment.
Yeah.
Because it exposed me, one, to different styles of leadership, because it was all of these different folks. They had a different story. And especially in that time period, that's why I wanted to set it up of what was going on at that time, society-wise, for women. But it also validated that becoming a leader was possible, which is incredibly important, but not just as a woman, but a woman of color.
Right. Well, and I think the other thing that you're exposing there, too, is that some of the stereotypical ways that we in our world have allowed Hollywood to typecast certain roles.
Yes.
And one of the things that's exciting is to see strong women action heroes or strong people of color doing other leadership things and doing things that are boldly and exciting to help others. You know, all of a sudden it creates that vision so you can see it, feel it, and let it roll. And that's
really, it's real.
Yeah. Well, and it's real. You know, and one thing that's real is the fact that you're here with us today. And I'm so excited that you are, Bernadette. You absolutely are opening our eyes and giving us something to think about, something for us to visualize, and you're doing it right here over radio on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Verschereau with Bernadette Johnson, and we'll be right back.
The attorneys of Foster Swift, Collins & Smith offer legal counsel to businesses, families, individuals, and municipalities throughout Michigan, with offices in Lansing, Farmington Hills, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Marquette, and Holland. Clients know they can count on Foster Swift for all their legal needs, from straightforward wills to sophisticated business transactions and complex litigation. Learn more about Foster Swift and how they can assist you at fosterswift.com.
And we're back right here with Bernadette Johnson. She is a leadership alchemist, which I just love to say. And of course, we're glad to have a chance to unpack your story. And you know, Bernadette, the Leadership Lowdown always loves to hear about some of the great stories and successes. And your early success was kind of told us that something was special. It kind of gave you a vision that maybe there was something that you could be that was outside of what society was defining at the moment. So tell me, you've spent some time in the corporate world. Tell me where that started and how that unfolded.
So I'm originally from Jersey, and I think I shared that. And we lived in Ohio for about a year, and I worked at General Electric there.
Okay, now none of that Buckeye stuff rubbed off on you, did it? Just checking. Okay,
well,
didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I went to Rutgers.
Oh, very good.
I carry a lot of spirit.
Yeah, there you go.
Across the board. Okay, and then we moved to Michigan, and I was employee number 89 at State Employees Credit Union.
Well, how about 89? My word.
Number 89, but to give a sense of how small it was as a credit union. And of course, now it's Lake Trust.
Oh, yeah.
And so went from State Employees, and we changed our name to New Union. And because then it explained more that we were more than just state.
Yes, right.
Right? It's a union of everyone. And then New Union merged with Detroit Edison, and that became Lake Trust because it was serving lake to lake.
Oh, very good. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I started State Employees Credit Union actually as a clerk, a cash clerk. And because my background was with one of the ancillaries off of Montgomery Ward, which was Jefferson Ward, which was on the East Coast.
Okay.
And I was manager of the cash and sales auditing. So that gave me that background to be able to come into a financial institution.
Okay.
Right?
Great, yeah.
Okay. And so I actually started as a cash clerk, went to a new account advisor, loan department, collections, data processing, because I have a computer background. It was such a great learning experience to grow while the organization was growing.
Sure. It was kind of growing up around you as you personally were growing. That's kind of a neat thing.
Exactly. I was in my late 20s and just an exciting, exciting time. And I call myself a Lake Trust alumni. Because I left 11 years ago. And so I went from each one of those departments. So I was behind as far as the back office, as well as we used to call it frontline. And I think now they call it member facing.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So I understood the workings, the system of the organization, as well as have worked with Michigan Credit Union League and CUNA and World Council of Credit Unions, who sent me to Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, wow.
To work with their credit unions.
Yeah.
So in that 27-year experience, so much learning happening, as well as so much contribution. And to be around so many different kinds of leaders. And what I valued most were which became my mantra for my business, is serving leaders who make a difference by being the difference.
Oh, wait a minute. Go slow with me on that one. Give me that one more time.
Serving leaders who make a difference by being the difference.
Wow, that's strong. It's interesting. Unpack that for us.
And so for me, I do not work with everyone. And it's not any, as the kids say, throwing shade at any leaders. But I want to, if my purpose is to make an impactful difference, then those are the people that I want to work for and be in service of.
Wow, that's strong.
If they want to make a difference, but understanding that it starts with them. It's not outside of yourself. It starts with you. And so how can I be the difference? And it doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean have charisma. It means I know all of my strengths and I know all of my lumps.
Well, let's play with that for a second, because, yeah. You know, this to me is what so many people look outside and start pointing at all the reasons why they can't be more. And what I think you just did is you said, those don't matter. What matters is what's inside of you and what you decide. Did I hear you right?
Yes. And it's recognizing that and accepting all of you, if that makes sense. And it's not a thing about perfection. It is a thing about excellence. Am I better than I was yesterday? That's it. That's the measurement. Am I better than I was yesterday? How do I want to show up? And if you're clear about that, that is your litmus test. That is what you're bumping up against every day as a leader. And so for me, over the years, it is what I found for me is what I love tapping into is the collective wisdom of leaders and enabling a space where they can co-create and co-creation can emerge.
Wow, that is worth the price of admission. And I have to tell you, this is so good. And we're going to have to continue that on the next segment because there's so much coming out of you, Bernadette Johnson. We're so glad you're here on the Leadership Lowdown right here on the Michigan Business Network. We'll be right back.
For something to grow, it takes time, like the equity in your home. That's why LifeQ offers a home equity line of credit. Because frequent watering of your houseplants may be recommended.
Now can we get a new roof?
Not so much the rest of the house. Want the best rates for a home equity line of credit? Ask for LifeQ. Stop in today or go to LifeQ.com/home equity. LifeQ, your credit union for life.
We're so excited to have Bernadette Johnson with us. She's doing such a great job of unpacking some of the great things that all of us here on the Leadership Lowdown on the Michigan Business Network are so excited to hear about. And Bernadette, one of the things that if you were talking in the last segment, I used to say in business that we shoot for perfection and settle for excellence. And my staff, sometimes I had to slow down and make sure they understood, look, I love perfect things, but they don't always and seldom happen. But if we're aiming for perfection and we end up with excellence, that's a pretty good second place. And so that's kind of where I felt you were aiming us for. But what tells me is that there's so much going on inside of you. And here you are leading people and being a part of Lake Trust and doing some great things. But at some point in time, you made the decision that said, I want to go back to my Italian ice days and be in my own business and let me do this. So tell me, was there a moment? Was there a mentor? What brought you full circle to put you in your own business again?
I am so glad you asked that, Rick. I'm sitting here, I'm smiling. Two things. One, I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Bernadette Johnson,
thank
and
you.
I'm a recovering perfectionist. But remember I was talking about knowing what your strengths are and know what your lumps are? So that's one of my lumps. And I say recovering perfectionist because I have not been a perfectionist for a shorter amount of time than I had been. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Right. So I'm always keeping an eye on that. Now, I wanted to share the person who gave me pause. So I want to give her flowers, which I've given her flowers in person. I want to do it here. And it is Ann Day. And she was the senior vice president for HR for New Union and State Employees Credit Union.
Okay.
And she recognized that I was a perfectionist and that it may derail me. Because you never reach perfection. Does that make sense? Like, excellence is one thing. Perfectionist is like, oh, it's not perfect yet. It's not perfect. And it's better to ship it than to keep, right? Because at some point, there's an imbalance there.
You can be paralyzed by perfection.
It acts as a detriment.
Yeah, you're paralyzed by perfection, right? It prevents
exactly.
you from moving forward. Yeah, yeah.
Here's the advice that she gave me. She looked at me right in the eye. I just love her.
Oh, boy.
She said, hold on, let me get it right because right. I'm honoring her.
We're going to be perfect on this.
Rick, stop.
Oh, sorry. I digress.
She said, you're okay. Is everyone else's fantastic.
Oh, wow. Isn't that
something? Shut up. You're okay as everyone else is fantastic. That was like 30 years ago. That was my pivot.
Wow, that is strong. That's like a big 1,000-watt light bulb that just got clicked on, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. I just looked at her and I started crying.
Aw.
It shifted me, but that's my canary.
Mm. And it called loudly to you, didn't it?
Am I doing that? So that's my check. That's why I say recovering perfectionist. The other thing is you asked me about the moment. The moment where I knew I needed to do something else. I was actually vice president.
Oh, my.
One of the vice presidents. It was 12 of us.
It wasn't like you were looking for work, right?
No, I was not. But I was in a boardroom all day. Now, I had a staff as well. And we were looking at numbers. And I mean, meaningful things, don't get me wrong. Meaningful. I was really good at what I did, but it didn't bring me joy.
Yes.
And so on my whiteboard in my office, I have a quote that says, say yes to work that feeds your soul and feeds the world.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And that point, I was just feeding the world. Uh-huh. And one of my certifications is in human performance technology. And I didn't know if it was anybody else here in Michigan. It was. And LCC called me and asked me if I would teach to get people ready for the certification. And they told me it was only three in Michigan at the time.
Oh.
They're certified performance technologists. And I was like, what? And I said, sure. And I'm pretty game for like, but that's the entrepreneurial thing, right?
There you go.
I'm
yeah.
pretty game. Okay, that'll be something new and I'll learn through it. And
bring it on. Yeah.
Exactly. That's pretty much my attitude. And there were 35 leaders in there from 35 different organizations. And we had a 3-day intensive because they're getting ready for certification. And I was lit the whole time, like just energy. And I went, oh my God, this is it.
Oh,
this is what I should be doing. Oh. Right. This is what I should be doing. Not sitting, and no shade, not sitting in a boardroom all day talking about numbers.
Well, and there you have it right here on the Leadership Blowdown. You just lit the light bulb for all of us. I love the fact that you know right when it was. And we're going to take a quick break and hear more right after this with Bernadette Johnson. This is the Michigan Business Network.
The Michigan Works Association believes the key to advancing prosperity across the state is accomplished through building a skilled workforce. As the state's primary workforce development association, their focus is to continue to move the needle on policy, education, and collaboration. They're creating an opportunity and building stronger communities by advocating and innovating together.
Back on the Leadership Lowdown right here on the Michigan Business Network. I've got Bernadette Johnson with us. She's doing a wonderful job of unpacking her amazing and quite frankly, her caring life that she's had and giving to others. And she just kind of told us how in the last segment, Bernadette, how you got started and really moved into your own space, if you will. So I wonder when you hang your shingle out, you kind of got a vision of what it's going to look like. And then maybe it morphed a little bit. So tell me, you toss your shingle out and say, this is what I'm going to do for the world. And did it go as planned?
No.
Well, you know, we say oftentimes we make plans and God laughs. So go ahead.
And he's like, oh, look, she's so cute. Look at her.
Look how cute she is.
Look how cute she is. She thinks she's in control. So what I did is I gave up my VP. So I didn't leave New Union. I did both.
Oh.
So I gave up my VP title, my staff, and I became the organization development and leadership consultant inside the organization.
I see.
So my focus, I was responsible for the development of all three levels of leadership. So you see how it shifted all on leadership. Right, right. Yes. And so I did that for 7 years. And so I know it wasn't like right away. And so I had colleagues who were women business owners. And one in particular, Vicki Jarose, she started a business Beyond Expectations Incorporated. And they had been in business for like 15 years. And I was telling her, she was actually one of our consultants. She helped us create an assessment center in which we won an international award for, my team. And she said, oh, you started your own business, as you said, to put the shingle out. She said, would you be willing to work on some of my projects and work with the leadership while we're working on the IT stuff?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, sure. So what I did is I had like lots of vacation time. So I would take vacation for a week and work with her and then come back on Monday and do my OD work. And I did that for 7 years, which means during that time, it gave me time to build my network.
You bet.
And to learn from her, because she was already a business owner. I just had the Italian nightstand.
Right, right.
But learning the working on the business piece of it, I already knew the working in the business piece of it. I knew my stuff. But the working on the piece was my learning.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Because those are two different things. And so it honed what I wanted my business to do. And what landed for me was helping organizations leverage their return on leadership.
Well, tell me about that, because leverage return on leadership. So, you know, this is interesting to me because, again, I've said this on this show before, you know, you train dogs, you lead people. And so when you develop people, there really is an expectation of some outcomes that are maybe different than just learning new tricks. And so when I think about return on investment on leadership, what are some of the components that you think are incredibly important to organizations as they think about the investment they're making? What is it they would expect to receive in return?
So that's the interesting thing I found over the years and still is that we don't have a return on leadership.
Okay.
So we promote people, correct? And we do, off you go.
Go get him, Tiger.
Here's the strategy. Here are some goals. And we let them go. And especially folks that we've grown within the organization. So they understand the culture. But when we talk about, I work a lot with leadership teams. They say, here, you're on this leadership team, but we have all of these individual folks who have individual agendas. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we haven't nurtured them working together, being an advocate for each other. So when they come together, they can have those really deep, not just dialogue, discussions about what's best for the organization and leave with one voice. That's the piece that doesn't happen.
And I think that that's so important. You scratch the surface of something that I think is really a dynamic issue for leaders in business, is that what they do is they look around them and they see outstanding workers, and then they want to get that worker more money. And so what they do is they put them in a leadership role because they can afford to pay them more money. But that might have just ruined a great worker and not really developed a great leader. My example of that, Bernadette, is I had a guy that was an animal salesperson. No one could even identify with him because he's that much of an animal. He wanted to be in sales management. And when he called me and asked me what I thought, I told him, don't do it. And I got in trouble from my corporate leadership because they're going, what's wrong with Versaro? You know, why is he not supporting us? And I'm going, you don't understand. Just because you're a great salesperson doesn't mean you're going to be a great sales manager.
Thank you, Vic.
Yes. And I think that's part of the whole thing, is getting the right people on the bus, in the right seats on the bus, and going the right direction. And so, Bernadette, you're helping us get in the right direction today here on the Leadership Lowdown. So glad you're with us right here on the Michigan Business Network. We're going to be right back after we go pay some bills.
Physicians Health Plan is local. For 35 years, we've been a part of your community, and we take pride in helping you get the coverage, care, and personal service you deserve. Go to phpmichigan.com for more information. We're the health plan that works for you. Michigan, by Michigan.
Oh, Bernadette, I can't believe we've only got one last thin segment left here on the Leadership Lowdown. So glad you're with us today, and so many notes on my page here talking to you and some of the great things you've got going. But, you know, I got to tell you, if I was a corporate leader and wanted to get some serious horsepower energy in the room and have some great leadership development opportunities, I probably could give you a call. And what are some of the things you would say, hey, these are my sweet spots, these are things I really am excited to talk about? What would you tell me as a CEO?
I actually have about 10 questions I normally ask.
Okay.
To find out where you are first. That's first. And then we would back into that.
Oh, very good. And work our way in.
Yeah. The whole focus is about your leaders and your leadership team. A couple of things that came out, actually the pandemic, I have a leadership base of about 350. And some of the things that they were sharing with me, I started, because I look at things systemically, that started to come together of the folks who transpired and transformed over the pandemic. I'm calling them pivot practices because that's exactly what they did. Mm. And so I created leader pivot practices. So leaders that need to, which is all leaders, to see around the corner, so to speak, of here are the skills that we need to hone in order to do that. So those are leader pivot practices. The other thing that I learned, not just from the pandemic, but in my relationships with many types of organizations, for purpose and for profit, are the neglected group are the middle leaders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are the transcribers of the strategy. They are also the least supported.
Call them the underserved, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. So what I created was a Middle Leaders Masterclass series. And it is three phases. And of course, you always start with you.
Yeah, right.
So leading from the inside out and all the way to the point of strategic thinking. And so that's like three phases of that. And the book that I'm working on, my first book was Waves of Influence. And it's a book of insights and quotes focused on leaders. And this, I wrote this after I left the credit union.
Okay.
It's more a reflection of here's what I learned. And so that's Waves of Influence. And the book now, I shift it. So stop laughing.
Right.
Is Inspired Radical. And it's radical two ways, and it's still about leadership, but it's doing leadership in a way that is intentional.
Okay.
And on purpose. It may not be in all the books that you're reading about leadership. It is you finding your way. So you're always showing up authentically. And that whole idea of inspired radical, it is both radical, like do something different. So the C-A-L, and then radical, the C-L-E, it is like the seed, the root of a tree once it's planted. And that's the beginning of everything.
Wow. Well, one of the things that I think is the beginning of everything is getting you in the room with other people that want to improve and find a better leadership path. So if I've got listeners that say, I think I need a little Bernadette or maybe a lot of Bernadette, how do they get a hold of you? What's the best way to do that?
Okay, this is going to be really hard.
Lay it on me.
Okay, Bernadette@BernadetteJohnson.com.
Come on, must be more difficult than that.
That is it. My website is BernadetteJohnson.com or InspiredActionMotivates.com. Either way.
You'll find you. Yeah. Well,
yes. And of course, LinkedIn.
Yeah. And I think what I heard you say is that, look, it's not a package deal. You just don't show up and say, okay, get out your notepads and start listening. Sounds like you get out your notepad. You start listening to what that leadership team needs and wants and take some notes. And then what
everything's you do is customized.
You bet. Start
drafting. Everything is customized.
Drafting a plan. Well, look, if you had just a short elevator ride with me and you could say, give me just something to sprinkle a little bit of Bernadette in my day, what would that be that you would tell me what I need to do with making my day better?
It would be a quote, actually. Notice I love quotes.
Love it.
The imagined future transforms the present.
The imagined future transforms the present.
The present.
Bernadette, I just want to say thank you for being with us. You are special. I'm so glad we connected and got together. Thank you. You've done a great job today.
Thank you so much for having me. You expect a great week.
Oh, I do. I expect a great day whenever I'm talking to Bernadette Johnson and whenever I'm talking to you there on the Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versaro. I can't wait to talk to you next time.